Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I would like to welcome you back to another Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your show host, Mark Snyder. Seems like for some reason I've been gone for quite a long time, although that's not the case. Last show was Tuesday, I believe. I'm not sure. I get these impulses at times. I'm not sure what they're all about. Let me circle back. We're going to talk about reincarnation today, the New World Order, Billy's trip on the mothership, and some information from the Might of Thoughts book. Edward Albert Meyer is an 80-year-old man who lives in Switzerland. He's about 45 minutes away from Zurich, which is one of the larger towns in Switzerland. Billy lives in a tiny mountain village nestled in the mountains and the pine forests of northern Switzerland. He has a center there called the Semyase Silver Star Center, and that's where the people come from all over the world to meet with the group, Billy's group. It's called FIGU, F-I-G-U, roughly stands for a free community of interests. They focus pretty much on Billy's writing. Billy has written 50 books, roughly. These are typically written in German, and then someone will come along to translate them. Four of the books, off the top of my head, are Might of Thoughts, The Way to Live, The Psyche, and The Goblet of Truth. These are bilingual books with one page in German and the other page in English. What are these books about? They're about learning to live your life and how to control your thoughts. They talk about the nature of the universe that we live in, what the purpose of our life is, certain creational natural laws. There are laws in the universe that govern how things work, like the law of love, the law of striving, the law of harmony. There's various laws that deal with how things work in our universe. Our universe is a young universe in terms of universes. There are, according to Meyer information anyways, there are many, many different universes. Our universe is in the first stage of its evolvement. Universes evolve just like people evolve. Our universe has what's called a material belt, and that's the place where the galaxies, the stars, are the solar systems, the planets. Not all universes have a material belt. A material belt is physical matter, and higher evolved universes do not have coarse matter, as it's called in the Meyer material. They have only what's called fine matter. And our universe is much older than our scientists believe. Our scientists look at the matter in our universe, which is about 45 billion years old, so they suggest that the age of our universe is 45 billion years old. It's much, much older than that because there's a process that goes on in the universe where energy is turned into matter, and then matter goes back to energy. It's kind of a cycle that occurs over time. And it's very similar to the reincarnation cycle. We live many, many lifetimes, and generally we don't remember those lifetimes. And that's a good thing because each lifetime has its own level of difficulty and level of disappointment and level of trial and tribulation. So we don't want to carry around all of the baggage of all these different lifetimes. So we start each lifetime fresh in terms of a new material consciousness. What is the material consciousness as opposed to the spiritual consciousness? This is one of the profound teachings in the Meyer Information. It says that we have what's called an innermost creational personality, which is centered around something called the Geistform, which is a German term. Geistform, we translate as spirit form. And the spirit form is located in the center of your middle brain in an area called the superior colliculus. And all animals and all plants have a spirit form. And, for example, your cats or your dogs have a spirit form. And it's probably centered in an area of their middle brain as well. Now, the superior colliculus is the area that controls sight. It controls the integration of your other senses. And your spiritual consciousness has all the memories of all those previous lifetimes, which on average is about 4.5 million years, I believe, for a typical Earth human spirit form. There are many, many human races out there in our universe. We're not alone. However, our particular space-time configuration, our stars are very far apart, and it's difficult for the lower developed races to get from star to star. It takes quite an investment of time to do that, and quite an investment of material. Earth is very interesting in that we've had civilizations on the Earth that go back hundreds of thousands, even millions of years. Some of these civilizations were extraterrestrial. And there have been cycles of disasters on the Earth that caused the rise and fall of these civilizations. So as Graham Hancock says, we're kind of a people who have gotten amnesia. We've forgotten who we are. Some of the spirit forms on Earth, some of the human spirit forms are 8 to 12 million years old, and they have lived during the time of Atlantis and the time of Pelagon and the time of these earlier civilizations, which archaeologists like Brian Forster are starting to put the pieces together that show the evidence of these prior civilizations. Now, this is going to cause much upheaval, particularly in the sectarian world, as they have no way of interpreting this other than just to call it all demonic or evil or whatever. So we're in the beginning stages of our evolution in many ways. Our society is what's called, it's in a second stage. There are 7 stages of human evolution, and most human beings are in the second stage, which is pretty primitive stage here. So that's why we have so many difficulties on the Earth. It's because there's so many things we don't understand about creation and about the universal consciousness. Now, it's very important to understand how reincarnation works, and there's a really superb film on YouTube by Michael Uddebrook. It's called Reincarnation and the Spirit Form. Michael is a member of Figu Lands Group in Canada. So, and it has excerpts from one of Billy's books called Rebirth, Life, Dying, Death, and Sorrow. So I recommend that you go try to find that YouTube. It's an excellent overview of the spirit form and how it works. So what happens is this universal consciousness, our universe has its own intelligence, and it creates human spirits as a part of its own evolution. And that spirit form has to evolve independently from the universal consciousness, in a sense. It evolves independently from all other spirit forms. It evolves by living through material lifetimes. It evolves because we have a material consciousness. Your personality, your subconscious, your unconscious mind is a part of this material consciousness. And your spirit form is neutral. Completely neutral. And the goal of the spirit form is to collect wisdom and knowledge through these countless reincarnations. So we have 7 evolutionary steps, and to get through all these 7 steps takes billions of years. And eventually the spirit form will merge back with creation, and that helps the creation further evolve. So let me give you a quick definition again of the creation, and that comes from a book called The Decalogue by Billy Meyer. It says, "The creation is the being and the non-being of life. It is the most immense mass of spiritual energy in the universe. It is spirit in its purest form and unmeasurable in its wisdom, knowledge, love, harmony, and truth. It is something that is pure spiritual intelligence entered energy. And the creation stands in a kind of unstoppable evolution." So the creation, this universal consciousness, it is a neutral, positive spirit energy that evolves through the creation of human spirit forms and through the evolution of a physical universe, which starts in its first form as physical. So let me continue here. Everyone has a spirit form. The Geist form is located in your superior colliculus in the middle of your brain, and it is involved in your material life, but you also have what's called a spiritual life, where you're living outside of a body in between physical lives, and you're in what's called the spirit realm at that time. Your spiritual consciousness, your spirit form, creates a storage bank in this fine matter world. And that storage bank is called the overall consciousness block. And in that overall consciousness block is where the new consciousness is created for the new material lifetime. So in between the physical lifetime, the spirit form is creating a new consciousness. And it's using that overall all consciousness block to do that. So this is where the old personality is dissolved, and it's, when I say it's dissolved, it's absorbed by the spirit form. All its knowledge, all its wisdom is absorbed by the spirit form. And this overall consciousness block is where the new personality is created. So the consciousness block, we also have a consciousness block. Our consciousness is our consciousness block. The overall consciousness block is again a storage bank in the other world. You have to keep these two in mind. So our consciousness block contains our personality, our consciousness, and our ego. And these gather values from the material life. So the spirit form comes into the body of a child 21 days after conception. I guess at this point it's still a fetus. So the consciousness block comes in with the spirit form. And from the superior colliculus, the spirit form spreads its spiritual energy throughout every fiber in the body. And what happens here is this heart starts to beat, and the little child becomes alive at this point. Now, what's very interesting is the spirit form, the spiritual consciousness, may be 1 million or 2 million years old. The child can't even think. Well, it can think, but it can't. It doesn't know how to speak yet. It's not even born yet. It's the material consciousness is completely new, but its spiritual consciousness may be 4 million years old. So as the child starts to grow up, it will get these impulses from its subconscious. Because within the subconscious are the programmed evolutive values from all the previous lifetimes. They're stored in the subconsciousness. So you have in your subconsciousness, in your locked away in there, are the evolutive values from your previous lives, like love, wisdom, logic, discernment. They're stored in their essences, and they are programmed into the subconsciousness in the spirit realm when you're between lifetimes. So see, the consciousness block incarnates. Each material consciousness is new with each lifetime, and it has to start out as a child, as a complete child. But in its subconscious are the various levels, like love, honesty, respect, patience, diligence, humor. And these are all in existence from previous personalities. In the subconsciousness of the new personality are the memories of all the essences of the previous personality. So you really, we are not designed to really remember the previous lives. But we have these, and because it would just be so traumatic, it would just about drive us completely insane to try to deal with all of those memories that exist from this previous lifetimes. If I can, I'll look here quickly, see if I can do that in the book The Psyche, because it talks about the material consciousness again. So, and I wanted to, the human being of Earth, one of the things we do is we've adopted all these false ideas, unpleasant habits, false word concepts. And this is one of the reasons that we're so confused by our religions. The spirit form that we have is a part piece of creation. Now, I pronounce this incorrectly, and my friends who are more German experts would probably tell me that. I would say Telstock, but that isn't probably correct at all. But your spirit form cannot be disturbed. It cannot be negatively affected by the spirit realm. The spirit also can't be nourished by the material realm, in a sense. But your material consciousness can become disturbed, can become insane. Your material consciousness is vulnerable, but your spirit form isn't. And let me read this to you. Contrary to the invulnerable and untouchable spirit, which represents a purely creational product and its power and its swing wave, the material consciousness is vulnerable. It can suffer harm and illnesses. It can fall into delusion. It can become feeble-minded. The material consciousness is not only a consciousness form, it embodies your personality. It's able to be creative. That's one of the things the spirit form really can't do at this point, that your material consciousness can do. Your material consciousness can be creative. You can create drawings, you can create inventions, you can write books. This all comes from your material consciousness. it's susceptible to illness. It can, your material consciousness can fall into megalomania. It, haughtiness, you can be arrogant. Material consciousness, its thoughts and feelings, it has its own thoughts and feelings. And there is the swinging wave, which is something that comes out of it. These electromagnetic swinging waves, these are built up electromagnetic fields, which are not bound to matter. And these can generate incredible forces. And I believe these come from your gemüt, which is the area that controls the thoughts and feelings of the spiritual consciousness. So your spiritual consciousness cannot be harmed by anything in the physical world, but the material consciousness can. So the spiritual consciousness is, I think of it as the real me. It's your innermost creational personality. Unfortunately, we have also the term called the soul. And what we really have is something called the psyche. And the psyche continues to exist. It is part, your psyche controls the thoughts and the feelings of your material consciousness. But it kind of, the energy of your psyche also goes throughout your whole body. It's half material and it's half physical. Now your psyche can go out of what's called harmonious balance. It can be positively or negatively unequalized. Your spirit form can't. So what we're always striving to do is to remain keep the material consciousness in equalized harmony. This is one of the creational natural laws. To think in harmony, to be neutral positive, to be balanced in your thinking. Not that we eliminate the negative, but by the same token, our thoughts should be confident, optimistic, relaxed, cheerful, just to name a few. So this is a quick overview. I wanted to give a quick overview of reincarnation again, and we will come back to that in subsequent shows. But I want to also talk about Billy, in his book called The Goblet of Truth, talks about something called the Secret Dark Order. And there's a lot of people, a lot of alternative researchers, which talk about this new world order, the secret dark order, people like Alex Jones and David Icke and Jordan Maxwell and many, many others talk about the new world order. I know the Meyer material does say there is a secret dark order and does talk about the plan to try to microchip human beings and the plan to completely create a civilization of tyranny. They talk about the rise of the robot people. The New World Order people talk about transhumanism. In many ways, we're talking about the same thing. So I'm going to spend a little time on that today. It seems that our political parties tell us what we want to hear. And once they get in the office, they do something totally different. We have also a system called the take, make, and throwaway system. We kind of worship an economic god that's destroying our planet. We always want economic growth. So even an oil spill, when an oil tanker sinks, we call it economic growth because a lot of money changes hands to clean up the mess. So economic growth, overpopulation, is destroying our beaches. It's wiping out our forests and all the great areas of great beauty on the planet. Our economic growth is our new god. We bomb civilizations. We bomb populations in the excuse of protecting them. We eat genetically modified food that modifies us. Now, eventually, genetically modified food will be very good and very helpful. But we're a long way from that. And the Meyer material talks about far into the future, genetically modified foods will help us. Not now. I don't think they do. Vaccines. Our vaccines are full of chemical toxins. They put crap into our bodies that we force these vaccines on young children as they're still forming. And this toxic crap is mandated by law. The world is a madhouse. And the world will probably see you and I as insane, and perhaps this is to be expected because, you know, we're called the crazy conspiracy theorists that believe that there's life in the universe beyond the earth, that there are other civilizations out there. I call them human beings too. But continuing. The whole idea of conspiracy theory came because the CIA wanted to discredit the people that thought Kennedy was assassinated, but not in the way that, not by the lone nut gunman. Always we're taught that this great individual that was trying to free us from this tyranny that's being formed is always killed by the lone nut gunman. Have you ever seen that? That's a repeating story. Kennedy was assassinated this way. Lincoln was killed by the lone nut gunman. If you've ever heard of the Clinton death list, there's 100 people that either killed themselves or usually suicided themselves, and they shoot themselves twice in the head with a gun. Now, how do you do that? Anyway, we tend to reject things that are not considered normal. The system wants us to have a rigid belief system, and the elites want us to have these rigid belief systems. And this is one of the reasons why we have two political parties right now that are so diametrically opposed. And Trump has been represented as the person that will allow for good change, and he may have some good policies. However, I think he may be doing the will of the Zionists, and we'll have to wait and see. But the goal of the what they called the neocons or the New American Century was to go into seven countries, and I think they expanded it beyond the seven countries. And some of the countries are Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Somalia, North Korea, China, and a few others. I mean, so this is the goal in the background, is regime change. And we're seeing our country, regardless of who the president is, going into these other countries and following war. So there's a hidden hand in the background that is causing these wars, and I believe they've already decided to attack North Korea, which is, of course, insane. Anyway, people have become more and more disillusioned with the political system. And the political system needs to continue to put its puppets in power. Obama was the first black president. Hillary was supposed to be the first woman president. Trump is the puppet that's in there now. The people have come up with some ways of stopping the system. We have to come up with a way of stopping this system. During the Bush administration, we had the neocons in the New American Century, which is what I was telling you about, the PNAC document. And this document said that we needed a new Pearl Harbor, which was 9/11. And the war on terror is justified by 9/11. So the neocons, and we have something equivalent to that called the Democons in the Democratic Party. These neocons and Democons really are the same force. And Billy calls it the secret dark order. And there's it's the same dark force that's doing everything in the background. So anyway, it's a very strange thing. There's a person from the Black Ops called Corey Snodgrass. I'm going to try to get him back on. We had him originally scheduled to be on the show, and he had a horrible car accident, was in the hospital. And, well, he talks about something called Operation Indigo Skyfall. We're being attacked from three different levels, from the air, water, and the food. But we'll talk more about that in the future. Remember, the world government wants, these elites want a world government, a cashless society, an Orwellian state where we're completely surveilled. There'll be the denial of the truth. It'll be a tyranny. They want a microchip population, a world central bank, a world army. You won't be allowed freedom of expression. You won't be allowed to have freedom of movement. This is the tyranny that's being brought forward. And these insane New World Order people, whoever they are, they had visions of three world wars. They've been successful at creating two of them. They want to create a third one. And Billy talks about this third world war as well. So what we're seeing is a civil war in Syria. This is all planned. All planned ahead of time. So I hope we'll talk more about this in the future. I wanted to switch gears and talk about Billy's trip on the mothership again. And this occurred right around 1975. You know, Billy at this time was having contacts with a woman named Semyase. Semyase is a player, and Billy's first contacts, first 11 years, were with a man named Svoth. Svoth was his original mentor, and I believe those contacts took place from about 1942, probably to 1953, and then Billy was, he got a second mentor, a woman named Asket from the Tao universe. Svoth was a 1,000-year-old extraterrestrial human from a star system called the Pleiaren star system. And I may have mentioned this briefly at the beginning of the show, but our universe, our material universe, is divided into seven what you might call dimensions or space-time configurations. And Svoth's people, the Pleiaren, are from this other space-time configuration, which is some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades. They're not really Pleiadians. If you come across people talking about Pleiadians, these people tend to really not understand what's going on. And I think that was by design. And the Pleiaren did this intentionally so we would have an easy way to weed things out in the future. So the Pleiaren, they used to have bases here right around all the way up until 86, I think it was. Bases in North America, bases in Switzerland. The bases in Switzerland are about 300 years old, and I think bases in Asia somewhere. But they're gone. They left around, I think it was in 1995 that they all left for some reason. But during the 1975, I was in my very early teens at that time. And this is when all these contacts were taking place. And Semyase would land her ship in Switzerland and right out in the open in the daylight in the beginning. And they would have these wonderful conversations, her and Billy. And these conversations were recorded in a contact report called Contact Report 31. And if you go out to what's called the Future of Mankind site, you can read this. And there was a synopsis written by Wendell Stevens. Wendell Stevens was a colonel in the Air Force who headed up the investigation of the Meyer case, and he put together some private investigators that went over to Switzerland there and did a quite thorough job just to collect objective information, like recordings of the ships, to talk to the eyewitnesses. There was about 100 of them. At some point they got metal samples from Billy. Billy passed all kinds of lie detector tests. Very interesting. But this contact occurred on July 17th, 1975 at about 10 a.m. This was the 31st contact. And Billy made preparation for this trip. And he was going to be gone for 30 hours. He got up early. He bathed and dressed and got everything ready. And I believe at this point, he ascended into the ship in a beam of energy. And this was Billy's greatest, what you might call his greatest adventure. So he was brought up in this transport beam at this point, and the transport beam went to Semyase's ship, and Semyase took him in a quick trip around our solar system. And one of the first places they went was Venus. And I'll read to you a little bit of this conversation between Semyase. What Semyase said when they went to Venus, she said, "Now you can get some pictures of Venus, this cloud strata." Billy, of course, brought a camera. "Then I will show you the surface of the planet itself. Unfortunately, I can only do so via the viewing screens and window ports. The special viewing screen for photography will have to be closed because of the high temperatures of this planet. The screen is better able to resist the extreme cold rather than extreme heat." So, she told him, "Don't be disappointed by the appearance of this world. The planet is in the stage of early development of primitive life." So Venus is developing life. It's in its very, very early stages. So Billy replied and said, "Almost everything is bare and lifeless, Semyase. However, it doesn't look to me like a second moon like many ones on Earth assert." And Semyase says, "Sure, I've explained that before." And Billy says, "But what is that down there beside the small meteor crater? And Semyase says, "An exploration probe from your Earth." Billy says, "I see. And how would it be if you would spin around the planet two or three times so that I can see other regions as well as the night side?" Semyase says, "I intended to do that." So they speed around the whole Venus a couple times. And here's a Billy. I'll read a little bit of what Billy says here. It says, "According to my wristwatch, we fly until about 4:30 p.m. in several planets, to several planets of the solar system, where once again I am able to shoot photos, but unfortunately only from a great distance. Close-up or photos of details are not permitted by Semyase. She gives no further justification for this. During the whole time, a number of very important things are discussed, about which, unfortunately, the only thing that can be said is that the possibility of the existence of human life form on other planets of the solar system was considered. This in particular, because it has often been said and written in books that such life forms would have or had contact with Earth humans or with some of us. Such claims were mostly made about life forms from Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Mars. So I am especially interested in these planets and ask Semyase about the possibility of visiting them and making observation of them. She kindly agreed and lets me very closely observe and examine these planets, as well as their moons, from only a few kilometers above the surface. But even with extreme enlargements of the images on the screens, or by getting close to the surface, not the slightest trace of alleged life forms were discovered. So Billy never saw any life forms. They went and went back to Earth, and they also saw this Apollo-Soyuz hookup. And so the Russians and NASA had a hookup of their space machines. And Billy was very disturbed by all this because he has past life issues related to claustrophobia. And he referred to the Russian capsule's metallic flying coffin. So anyways, eventually Semyase and Billy go out to Jupiter. And this is where, out of Jupiter, they see the mothership, which is a huge metal sphere, is hanging in the darkness of space, reflecting only weakly the light of the sun. And very slowly, as the beam ship approaches the mothership, it decreases in speed. And Semyase is carefully observing this huge sphere, which looks like a very small planet. And there was a big gap opening in this sphere, and Semyase flies her ship into this gap in the ship, an opening, a doorway, if you will. The ship has 141,000 inhabitants, the Great Spacer, the mothership. And this is the latest development of the Pleiaren. It's a great ship. It's a tremendous ship. It can, I believe it can even do time travel. Let me read what Semyase talks about here. She says, after the predetermined break-off of her contacts with you, and this is Semyase's talking about Billy's contacts with Askew, which occurred from 1953 to about 1964. Askew is a woman from the Tao universe, and Billy had tremendously interesting contacts with her for 11 years. So after the breaks off of the contacts with Askew, which were being led in collaboration with us in the High Council, she allied herself with our High Council, and from that resulted a quicker contact and a quicker cooperation. With the help of her race from the Tao universe, we came into possession of knowledge of higher technical capabilities and received the most exact data for the development of these great spaceships. So a lot of the technology for developing the motherships came from Askew's people. And so it says here, for Askew's people, the handing over this data was no problem because they had mastered the way of overcoming distances that these ships are capable of more than 700 years ago. In Earth years, Askew's race is about 350 years ahead of the Pleiaren in all technical fields. And this is no small time interval. It's a decisive level of development in every field. So Billy and Semyase talk more about this mothership. So the diameter of the mothership is 17,000 meters, 17,182 meters. This is gigantic. So I'm just skimming here quickly down through here. So Billy and Semyase, they land her ship inside this hangar, and then they eventually get on another small little transport device in the Great Mothership, and they're going up vertically, heading towards the very top level of this mothership. And they come to an opening in this shaft, I guess, as they're going upward. And in this opening, they see a gigantic landscape. Let me read what it says here. It says, "For minutes we climb up with increasing speed until Semyase suddenly stops the floating vehicle and docks it into a side compartment in the wall. And there in the open space of approximately 2,000 times 1,000 meters, and I feel myself completely transported into a magical world. Whenever I look, I see green fields, trees, shrubs, flowers, a real little Garden of Eden in the space giant." So within this gigantic spaceship, which is 17,000 meters in diameter, hovering out next to Jupiter, Semyase, Billy fly in the ship. They land her ship. They get on another little transport device. They're going up in this ship, which is taller than Mount Everest, by the way. And they go into the side compartment, and they see this beautiful, gigantic garden with trees and hills, and it's a magical place. Semyase explains that the ship is taller than the highest mountain on Earth, which is Mount Everest. And they continue to go up higher and higher in this ship, where Billy is going to meet Ptah, who is Semyase's father, and is the leader of this mothership. And Semyase explains the leader of the mothership is a JHWH, or what's called an Ishwish. Now, Billy is not one to be submissive, so he makes some comments that he will not grovel in the dust in front of the Ishwish, who is the leader of the ship. So eventually, Billy gets to continue to... Well, let me read what it says here. It says, this is Semyase. "Good, so let's go on now. Slowly we walk along narrow paths through the parks, so I guess they're still in this green area. The paths are soft and made of metal, not made of metal, but rather of some kind of plastic or something similar. Here is a fantastic world of flowers. I'm mostly completely unknown flowers and scents, but I also see flowers, bushes, trees, exactly like the ones I know from Earth. Simply a true paradise. We only take 20 minutes to cross the park, and then again we stand before a transportation pit with a vehicle floating in front of it, of which we use to drive up. If I may use the term, with increasing speed we float higher and higher again. Suddenly, the firmament lies open above us. As far as my eyes can see, over the end of the shaft, I see nothing but the infinite vastness of the universe. Stars twinkle, and I ask myself, how could we have simply floated out into space? Because we should not be able to survive up here, where there is no air. And I understand things quickly enough as we reach the end of the shaft, because at the end of this lies the cupola, which Semyase had spoken of. An enormous space exists here, with console-like furnishings in which apparatuses and screens are embedded. Before them are human beings and an unknown to me form of life, which I soon recognize as being biomechanical. Real biomechanical humanoid androids. The whole command center is a giant dome cupola several kilometers in diameter." So this bridge on this ship is several kilometers in diameter. And over the whole thing spreads the free cosmos. And I wonder how one can still breathe. Then I remember the completely transparent walls of the hangar. And it becomes evident to me that the whole ceiling of the cupola must consist of transparent metal. So on the roof of the bridge of this great ship, which the bridge is kilometers in diameter, is a transparent material, a transparent metal. It is not glass. It's a very stable metal alloy. But it, for all intents and purposes, acts like glass. So this is a tremendous technological wonder, this great spacer. And then Billy eventually gets to meet with Semyasu's father, Ptah, who's the leader of this great ship. So I wanted to finish out the show talking about the Mighty Thoughts book, which I think is probably, every book of Billy's is so important, but this is probably one of the most important thoughts, most important books that you can ever study, because one of the great problems here on the Earth is we are a humankind that's ill in our consciousness. And Elizabeth Moosberger wrote the dedication in this book. So the book which lies before you is dedicated to a humankind that's ill in our consciousness, so that it finds again the creational natural way which lost long ago. So this book is designed to strengthen your sanity. I like to put it that way, to make you more sane and clarify your thoughts and stabilize your mentality. So our consciousness can only evolve through independent thinking. But unfortunately, our society is more stunted because everything is programmed. We are getting programmed by television, radio, newspapers, magazines, and books. CNN is complete mind control. It's hard to imagine that we live in a society where independent thinking is rare. So what I emphasize for people is that they focus on learning logic, learning to think independently. Our religions have brainwashed us to think in terms of faith, but we should be thinking in terms of logic, because logic will help you maintain what's called the neutral balance. We have a good human nature. If you think in terms of faith, if you think in terms of the lack of thinking, which is being programmed by the mainstream media, you will get very badly out of control of the good human nature. In fact, we're being programmed by the mainstream media with violent video games, violent sports, violent movies. It's to create the upheaval of our consciousness. If we maintain neutral, positive balance in our thinking, eventually, no matter how religious we are, we will think independently for ourselves, and we will become more logical over time. And it's very important that we understand that the might of the human being is anchored in our thoughts. You are the forger of your own fortune. You are the master of your own destiny. You create your own good luck by good thoughts, which bring good feelings, and good feelings which bring good habits, and good habits which produce good circumstances in your life. There's an old saying which says the human being is the forger of his or her own fortune. And you create your own good luck. The external circumstances of your life will be molded by your thoughts. Remember, your thoughts will create the circumstances and the environment that you live in. It is the nature of the thoughts. It is that by their power alone, every conceivable thing can be brought into fruition. So we are the creator of our personality, of our morality. We are the smith of our entire life circumstances, our environment, and our destiny. One of the things we have to learn to do is to clarify our thoughts. To clarify our thoughts means to make things less confused, more clearly comprehensible. And this involves a lot of repetition. It involves some memorization, but mostly it involves understanding. And understand that your consciousness is like a garden. And if you think good, neutral, positive thoughts, that garden will be filled with flourishing plants. If you think in terms of negative thoughts, you will have confusion. You will have lack of understanding. Confusion comes from a Latin term which means to pour things together, to mingle things together, to lose the boundary, the distinction between things. Our thoughts need to have a zeal. They need to have a target. They need to have an ultimate destination point. And for my clarification of thoughts, I go back over things over and over again. And I think the word Klärung is the German word for clarification. So we need to clarify our thoughts. All wrong, useless, negative, impure thoughts need to be eliminated. Emmanuel said, "Truly I say to you, love that is unlimited, constant, and unfailing is unconditional." And he said, everything within the human that is human must die, but everything of the creation must rise up within you. So we are the master of our own psychical state. And again, our consciousness should be like a garden filled with flourishing plants. So our thoughts, once they are animated, once they are created, they develop their own life, exactly like plants. So do not allow negative thoughts to remain in your psyche, because it's the negative thoughts which disturb the feelings and then also disturb the psyche. So you have to pull out the negative thoughts. You have to steer your thoughts like a captain steers his ship. Because if you don't, you will have negative repeating thoughts. And then you will constantly be seeing negative. You will see black. You will not be able to control your thoughts. You will repeat your unpleasant thoughts so many times that you will make yourself miserable and you can make yourself sick. You have to break this habit. Do not allow negative rotating thoughts to maintain in your consciousness. Well, that was our show for this afternoon. I am working silently to try to bring you more guests and more programs. I always love to hear from you. Thank you for the folks that have sent encouraging letters. I hope this information has been beneficial to you today. We'll talk to you tomorrow, hopefully. Have a great day.